Well, Monday was a day that none of us will ever forget. Just before 1 o'clock in Shelbsburg, everything that went from a normal morning changed in what seems like the blink of an eye. I know because I was just getting ready to go for a haircut, which is still much needed. And so, you know, this thing that's going to become a storm on top of my head in the next few days. But this storm that swept through our community, I don't even really need to relay the details to you. But this storm that swept 770 miles or 700 miles across our nation with winds between 90 and 113 miles an hour, depending on where you were standing, and destroyed businesses and communities, homes, crops, farms, highways, tossed things like it was as if we were picking up pebbles of sand. And in that moment, with very little warning, we scurried around. We grabbed whatever we could. We grabbed the most important things, the most important ones to us, and we hunkered down for 20 minutes or so. In that moment, we cried and we prayed. We begged God for protection. And we waited. And maybe we cried some more and prayed some more, I'm sure. Any number of these things. And then immediately after, people began to appear in neighborhoods. We checked immediately as much as possible with loved ones. Phone calls that almost immediately only lasted seconds, but it was just enough to hear a voice. But that's all we needed. Unfortunately, we know of 4 individuals whose lives were lost during this storm. And so as a church family, though we don't know them, let's be praying for them, for their families. And people began to walk around neighborhoods to kind of mill around. And the most important questions were asked first. How are you? How is everyone? Is everyone okay? And we would answer something along the lines of, yeah, we're all okay. And I can't tell you how many times Monday afternoon I heard, well, that's the most important thing. That's really all that matters right now. From neighbors and friends in my own community, and I'm sure in yours. And then people began to walk and look around just to begin to try to take in, to begin to try to process what had just happened in the matter of less than a half hour. Looking naturally first at our own homes as we would, and then looking around neighborhoods to see siding torn off. Insulation. I mean, my neighborhood looks like the world's largest spitball competition because of the white insulation that's everywhere. That's the stuff we can sort of laugh about, but roofs were gone. Roofs were in neighbors' yards, several houses down, entire roofs. And some homes, a total loss. And we begin to ask a lot of questions. This war zone that we walk through brings lots of questions. And I will tell you, brothers and sisters, I do not come this morning with all the answers. Hopefully we'll see some answers. Well, we will see some answers. But even now, only a few days, a handful of days after this derecho swept through our town, what once looked like a war zone now looks like a city that's, at least here in Shelbsburg, I want to say in large part, but a lot of cleanup has happened. But it's at the point where, as if you were sweeping a large room with a lot of dust and debris on the ground, you sweep into big piles, knowing that later you got to still come back and sweep up those piles. You drive through town and that's sort of what you see, large piles of housing materials, large piles of brush. of trees. And we begin to be thankful for the major things. There are people that I didn't really even know that I got to work along side by side of this week. I'm so thankful for the love of God that is expressed through every human, through what we would kind of refer to as God's common grace, God's attributes. God is love, but one of those attributes he shares with all of humanity is what's called his common grace, which is love that we're able to express to one another. Certainly not everyone is one who trusts in God, and I've seen so much kindness offered through organizations and through individuals in communities all around our area, and I know across the area where this storm has swept through. And I'm incredibly thankful for these people that are willing to help. I'm incredibly thankful for people that are willing to ask for help. It's not easy to slip your hand up and ask for prayer. It's not easy to stand as you watch 5 or 20 or even 30 people at your house cleaning up. That takes humility. One of the common questions that comes in a time like this is, why me? Why us? I mean, it's not as though we actually wish it on anybody else. It's not as though we think anyone else is deserving of it necessarily, but we ask the question. And so I thought it might be helpful to look at just the beginning of the book of Job, where we see a man who follows hard after God. He was following the Lord, as we read in the beginning of Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. Now, that didn't mean he was sinless, but in a broad brush sort of way, he was a righteous man who sought to follow the Lord. And there were born to him seven sons and three daughters, and he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very, very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. His sons used to go, and they would hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and then send and invite three sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send, and he would consecrate them, which means that he would pray for them, and he would offer offerings. He would go before the Lord and say, Lord, I have no idea what happened in that party. I have no idea, but I'm going to pray for them. And he would rise early in the morning, and he would offer burnt offerings, and according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. Friends, when tragedy strikes, we haven't read about it here yet, but it's about to strike. We need to know that tragedy falls on those who love God and fear God, as well as those who do not fear God, those who do not worship the Almighty God, those who worship some other god or a god of their imagination, but not the Almighty Father who we are brought to as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and are empowered to live in righteousness through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not that God, the only God. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where have you come? And Satan answered the Lord, and he said, from going to and fro the earth and walking up and down on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and an upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. And then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hand and his possessions and have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, All that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Friends, when tragedy hits, we begin to understand what our real, functional, practical understanding of God is. Which in many cases is, if I'm generally nice and good to others and try to worship God, catastrophic circumstances in life should not come my way. Well, how do I know? Well, as one who was not hit by nearly as much as so many were. Power begins to come on in the city last night. And we were one of a small group. This is not a poor me, by the way. There's no poor me. A lot of people a lot worse off. But, you know, we sat down as a family to just kind of talk through things. And we began to talk about the power. And the power is on at all. But, you know, a handful of houses, maybe 30 or 40 houses in town, something like that. And so our neighbors have power and we don't. And even in my heart, he began to kind of go, well, how come they got power and we didn't? Because when we're not walking circumspectly with the Lord, that's our natural bent. But in his mercy, the Lord brings perspective. Right? We begin to realize, well, what would I be upset by this if I had power, but my neighbor didn't? We might not be as concerned about it. And so the Lord stretches out, or the Lord allows Satan. He sets Job up as a prop for God's glory. Not carelessly, not foolishly. Everything God does is wise. But he sets Job up and says, Satan, you can test him. But I want you to notice who's in control this entire time. It's God. It's God. And so God limits how Satan can test him. Now, there was a day when the sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. This is Job's children. And then a messenger came to Job, and he said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them. They took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was yet speaking, another one came, and he said, the fire of God came from heaven, and he burned up the sheep and the servants, and he consumed them. I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans formed three groups, and they made a raid on the camels, and they took them, and they struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was yet speaking, there came another who said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came across the wilderness, and it struck the four corners of the house, and the house fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And then Job arose, he tore his robe, and he shaved his head, which is an expression of deep grief and sorrow, and he worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. This is a good reminder for us to look at all that has happened around us, to lead out in our community, with our neighbors, with our family, and help one another look heavenward to the Lord. Not in worship simply for the gifts that he gives us, but in worship for who he is. Because he is the one who could have stopped this derecho from coming across the Midwest. He could have stayed that hand, and he didn't. You can have the conversation about whether he allowed it or whether he brought it. Both may be true. Remember in Mark, Jesus is in the boat with the disciples, and they're fearing because Jesus is sleeping and they're in the storm, in a boat, in the storm. And on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him and they got in the boat, and other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and he rebuked the wind and the sea. And he said, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. Not just, I was kind of calm. There was a demonstrable God kind of calm on the sea. When the weather obeyed Jesus. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you no faith?" They were filled with great fear. And they said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Friends, let us continually, as I have seen you do in these days, look to heaven. Worship God for who he is. Do so continually. Do so with words that allow you to help your potentially unbelieving family, friends, and neighbors see who God is. That he is the one who is ruling and reigning. Things are not out of control with the Lord. Well, how do we know? Well, Romans helps us understand this. In Romans, if I can find it in my Bible. The Apostle Paul writes, and he says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain freedom of the glory of the children of man. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits, that's the evidence of the Holy Spirit living in us because we have trusted in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of our sins, which he made possible through his death on the cross, burial, and resurrection. We have the Holy Spirit. We groan inwardly as we eagerly await for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And in this hope, we were saved. And now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes in what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Friends, since the fall of man, when God created everything perfectly and wonderfully, and Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan, but of their own choice, sinned. Everything has changed. Death has entered the world. The creation is not the perfect creation it once was. We look around and we see majestic, wonderful, beautiful creation as we go. But it will be nothing. It is nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed to us in heaven one day. And so as we look at storms and we look at natural disasters, we need to understand that they function within a grander plan that is the wisdom of God. And as we read throughout the Bible, and we don't have time to look at them all today, but we see that weather often is brought to bring about judgment. But is it always judgment? No. Acts of God are often to just simply, I use that word quite loosely, reveal God's glory. Oh, the wonder of what could be through this tragedy. That for us is a very real disaster and tragedy. But what opportunity it holds for us to be the people of God. As I've seen you be even this week already. To come alongside one another. To pray for one another. To help one another. Now listen, we're only 5 days in, 6 days in. So you haven't been able to pray with everyone or help everyone or come alongside everyone because there's much work to be done. But what we need to do is set our sight and set our hearts to remember who God is in His majesty and in His mercy. So if God allows something like this, does God love me? I mean, why my home and not their home? Friends, we can't judge God's love for us based on how the things around us in life seem to go. How do we determine God's love for us? Well, in the fact that, as Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, while we clung to our sin and were active enemies of God, Christ died for us. He died on the cross so that in that moment when we were hunkered down in our basement and what was revealed about your love for God or unlove of God was thrust to the surface in your prayers or in your lack of prayers or in what you prayed for or after the storm, whether you cursed God in your mind or thanked God, not simply for provisions, but for His love and watch care. For His love revealed in Christ, as we started our service with this morning. We look to the love of God and we take others with us. There's so much more in the story of Job. In Job, we see that Job worshiped first out of grief. And then as Satan begins to lift the limits that he had put on Satan with Job's fifth tragedy, Job worships God in pain, in such physical pain that he's scraping boils off of him as he worships God. And he worships. And if you know much about the book of Job, which we don't have entire time to read, but you know that he goes through and there are several conversations that Job has with the Lord. And he gets to the point where he really challenges God, and then God ultimately silences him, as He would ultimately silence you and me this morning. Were you there when I set the stars in place? Nope. And Job repents. I want to offer a few considerations in closing. This is hard because there's so much to be said and only so much time. So I want to offer a few considerations. One, see God as He really is as revealed in Scripture. There's so much that we hear about God that's just inconsistent with what the Bible teaches. Don't be surprised when you question God. Because God gave His Son for us while we were yet sinners. And He doesn't cast those who have trusted Him for salvation out. He's not shocked by the fact that we wrestle in our belief. That we struggle. His own disciples in the boat right next to Him. Lord, do you give a rip about us? Don't you eat? Like, how are you sleeping? And He challenged them for their lack of faith. Friends, it's worship, and this seems like a paradox, but it's worship to go to the Lord in faith, even while you lack full faith. You go to the Lord. And you say, Lord, I don't know everything that's happening in my heart. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me, Lord. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Romans, at the end of the passage I read shortly, just a few minutes ago, has one of the most beautiful encouragements for those who wrestle. Hashtag everyone. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes, which means prays for us, groanings that are too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Friends, pray for yourselves according to the will of God. That in your life, in your pain, in your catastrophe, whether related to the derecho or related to illness or a struggle in your family, that God would be exalted. No matter how things go, that Christ would be exalted as your only hope for salvation and your only sustaining hope for joy. Now, how that fleshes out is will look very differently for many folks. But pray for God's will. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be what? Conformed into the image of his Son. So, Christian, pray. Lord, use this lack of electricity. Use this lack of ability to live in my own home. Use this great uncertainty in my life circumstance to conform me, to shape me. Take this perfectly formed tool that you have designed for my life to mold me and shape me and cut me into the image of Jesus. Help me be like you. To be conformed into the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he called. And those whom he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who didn't spare his own Son, but gave him up for us, how will he not give us all things graciously? Friends, look to the Lord. Take your neighbors to the Lord as you help. Just pause and pray. You can't have every conversation now. You can't answer every question. But what we can do is we can begin to take people to the one who can and the one who will bring some clarity but won't answer every question. Look to the Lord. Trust the Lord. Speak of the Lord. And help one another be carried to the Lord time and again in these next days and weeks and months. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we express to you, Lord, our great, great need. Our need for faith, which comes as a gift from you. Lord, there's so much that we don't understand. And so we ask you for wisdom. But more than that, Lord, we ask you for the sustaining grace to make it through this day, this week, this season that you have set for us. Lord, would you give us words for friends who are hurting? Not to come as the great answer bearers, but as ones who bring with us the Lord of all creation. Would you empower us? Would you help us worship you according to who you are in the Bible? Father, I thank you that we can celebrate this Lord's Supper even this morning. While everything around us seems uncertain, and many questions are still answered as to how the insurance assessment is going to come out, how the home is going to be repaired, who are we supposed to call, what happens with the car, what happens with the next several days, weeks, and months. One thing is sure. One thing. That because of your death, burial, and resurrection, you will sustain your people and you will come for your people to take us to glory. And oh Lord, that we would see so many come with us, so that we would see so many who would trust in you, who would shed their trust on themselves and how they navigate life and would come to you in complete confidence. As we eat this bread and drink this cup, we're reminded of your personal investment, your personal sacrifice, as the Holy God came to give yourself fully for all who would trust in you. Help us remember well this morning that it would fuel our faith this week until, by your grace, we come to meet together again in corporate worship. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.